Well, Father, I look around this room and I see people who are hungry and thirsty for you. They came out, they traveled some distance, and Father God, they just want what you want for their lives. They need to have direction tonight, Father. That's why they came to sit in your house. And Father, I just thank you for these people. I thank you, Father God, that I've watched them from when they were fallen until they climbed up, Father. And how they struggled, and but yet they fought and they fought. Now I'm asking you, Father God, that tonight you do something special in their lives. Bring them forth in your might and in your power, Father God. For you know all things. They know some things, but you know all things. And Father God, you are telling us that this is a time you want to do great and mighty works through us. So I'm expecting a mighty move of your power tonight, Father. I'm expecting you to do something out of the ordinary. Just because these people sacrificed and came to sit at your table. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a, you know, do you love me? This is what God keeps asking us, do you love me? Now, this is a teaching I ran across while researching love. So this was something else saying this. There is a quote attributed most often to Reverend Sam Pasco that I would like us to read. It is a short version of the history of Christianity, and it goes like this. Christianity started in Palestine as a fellowship. It moved to Greece and became a philosophy. It moved to Italy and became an institution. It moved to Europe and became a culture. It came to America and became an enterprise. All right. She says, some of the students were only 18 or 19 years old, barely out of diapers, and I wanted them to understand and appreciate the importance of the last line, so I clarified it by adding an enterprise that's a business. So when I read this, you know what I was thinking. After a few moments, Martha, the youngest student in the class, raised her hand. I could not imagine what her question might be. I thought the little statement was self-explanatory and that I had performed it brilliantly. Nevertheless, I acknowledged Martha's raised hand. Yes, Martha. Martha asked such a simple question. A business? But isn't it supposed to be a body? She said, a business? Isn't it supposed to be a body? Are you hearing this? I could not envision where this line of questioning was going, and the only response I could think of was, yes. She continued, but when a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? The room went dead silent. For several seconds, no one moved or spoke. We were stunned, afraid to make a sound, because the presence of God had flooded into the room, and we knew we were on holy ground. All I could think in those sacred moments was, wow, I wish I would have thought of that. She's a teacher, you know. I didn't dare express that thought aloud. God had taken over the class. Martha's question changed my life. For 6 months, I thought about her question at least once every day. When a body becomes a business, isn't that a prostitute? There is only one answer to her question, and the answer is yes. The American church, tragically, is heavily populated by people who do not love God. How can we love Him? We don't even know Him, and I mean really know Him. We know about Him, but we really don't know Him. The Bible was written to people who would not understand the concepts of knowledge, belief, and faith apart from experience. Why won't we give God His Sabbath? God wants the seventh day, you know, but how many people actually don't do anything on Sunday or Saturday, whichever one you do it in? You always do something on the Sabbath, and God doesn't want you to do that. Now, Exodus 20, 8-11 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Why do you have birthday parties and get-togethers and everything on Sunday? On the Sabbath, you can do that 6 other days of the week. Why do you do it on Sunday? You're supposed to be spending that time with God. Exodus 31:12 says, "And the Lord said to Moses, 'You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbath. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death.'" Thank God you're not living back then, right? We would have no church. We'd have a funeral home, right? "Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people." See how much he thinks about the Sabbath? 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Most American Christians do not know God, much less love him. That's why you don't give him the Sabbath. The root of this condition originates in how we came to God. Most of us came to him because of what we were told he would do for us. We were promised that he would bless us in life and take us to heaven after death. We married him for his money, and we don't care if he lives or dies as long as we can get his stuff. We have made the kingdom of God into a business, merchandising his anointing. This should not be. We don't charge for prophetic CDs because freely God gives us, freely we give to others. It's God's word that people are selling when they charge you for a prophetic word. And you're not supposed to be selling God's word. We are commanded to love God and are called to be the bride of Christ. That's pretty intimate stuff, is it not? Mark 12:28 says, "And one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength.'" If I took a little poll in here, I can say that I wouldn't get a 100% that you love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You don't do that. And why can I say that? Because I watch your fruit. If you love God that much, you would have good fruit all the time. All right? We are supposed to be his lovers. How can we love someone we don't even know? You wonder why some people come into church once or twice and don't come back again, because they don't really know God, and you are not a true picture of what God's all about, and they already have what you have, and so they leave. Why come in here and sit here and listen to somebody spout off some words to you, right? You're supposed to be just like Jesus, living just like Jesus, and then you'll start winning souls to Christ. And even if we do know someone, is that a guarantee that we truly love them? Are we lovers or prostitutes? Think about your marriages. Are you a lover or are you a prostitute? Are you just living with somebody? Are you just living with somebody, or do you really love them? You don't know. You don't have to know the innermost core of their being to love somebody. But with God, we keep learning more and more and more about him, because he wants to draw us into the innermost center of his heart and show us the love that's in the center of his heart. And so we keep drawing closer and closer to God so that we can be a lover with God. God wants us to become one, not fragmented with him. What's the difference between a lover and a prostitute? Both do many of the same things, but a lover does what she does because she loves. A prostitute pretends to love, but only as long as you pay. All right? A lover does what she does because she loves. A prostitute pretends to love, but only as long as you pay. Ask yourself this question. What would happen if God stopped paying you? You know, giving you the blessings. John 21:14. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He, Peter, said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Now look, he's going to say three different things here. Pay attention. Jesus said to Simon a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to Peter, "Tend my sheep." What was the first one? "Feed my lambs." Second one is, "Tend my sheep." You're no longer a lamb, you're now a sheep. Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to Peter, "Then feed my sheep." God gave me that scripture one time years and years and years ago when I was grumbling about a sheep. You know, "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs," or feed the babies. "Tend my sheep. Love and nourish them. Feed my sheep. Give the grown lambs the meat of the word." Let's do that over again. "Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs," which means feed the babies. "Tend my sheep. Love and nourish them. Feed my sheep. Give the grown lambs the meat of the word." You all get the meat of the word, so you have to be grown. You can't say babies very long. One service, then you have to be a sheep. All right, you can't be a lamb forever, right? Church, do you love me? We need to allow God to search us to uncover our motives for loving and serving him. You know, why are you serving God? Truly, why are you serving God? Am I really a true lover of God? What would happen if he stopped blessing me? What if he never did another thing for me? God said that one time, ask him, what would they do if I never did another thing for them? Would they still love me? And then God said to me, the answer is no, they would not. They only serve me because of what they can get from me. And that is a shame. That's the way a lot of marriages are, isn't it? And that is a shame. That's not the way God wants love to go. And I'm hoping that you guys will start changing the way you love. I'm hoping that you'll start looking really deep inside of yourself and see what you're really all about deep inside, and really check yourself out and see what your motion, you know, what your motives really are in any relationship with God or with humans. What is your motive in these relationships? And I know that as each one of us check our motives, that we can say honestly, my motives are not right. I didn't start out right. Or I might have started out right, and somewhere in between, my motives got messed up. And now I'm all messed up. Now I have to go back to the beginning, you know, to my first love and get that straightened out, then move on again. If that's what you have to do, then do it quickly. And I'm going to guarantee you God will be there with you, and he will lead, guide, and direct you through your love walk, and you won't mess up again. All right, would I still love God if he didn't do anything for me? We believe in the promises and blessings of God. But the issue here is not whether God blesses his children. The issue is the condition of my heart. He can bless you to the moon and back, and you still wouldn't love him. Unless your heart is right, you cannot love. Come on. Why do I serve him? Are his blessings in my life the gifts of a loving father? Or are they a wage that I have earned? or a bribe or a payment to love him? Do I love God without any conditions? I can say, and with all sincerity heart, I would love God no matter what, because that's just the way I've walked with him. And even if he has me down in a valley and it seems like he's not there, I still love him. I know that he has me in that valley for a purpose, something about my life that he's trying to build up or change or something. God never takes me to any place that I don't have to go. In other words, there's some reason why I am there. And I love him no matter what. Are you understanding this? You're saying, even kids, well, you don't love me because you don't give me this, you don't give me that. That I tell my kids all the time, my love for you has nothing to do with what I'm saying to you right now. I'm just trying to teach you something. My love is still just as strong as ever. But see, a lot of kids think, well, so you're chastising me, so you don't love me no more. That's a lie. Some women are fickle, and they think, well, he didn't say good morning, so he doesn't love me anymore. So then they fuss all day. You know, it goes on and on and on, that kind of dumb junk. And if we was really in the correct love walk with God, if we was secure in our love with him, we wouldn't go down those kind of avenues. And we would be trusting one another instead of always wondering what each other are doing. All right? Lost my place. It might take you several months to work through these questions. Ask yourself this. Number one, is my desire to love God always matched by my attitude and behavior? Or number two, do you catch yourself being disappointed with God and angry? I think that number two is what most people are at. They're disappointed with God and they're angry with him. Well, okay, and do you catch yourself being disappointed with God and angry that he has not met some perceived need in your life? 99.9% of Christians fall in that category. They get angry with God that things don't go the way they think they should go. See, people don't understand that yes, God does hear your prayers, and yes, God knows what you want, but what you want isn't good for you. And so God's not going to answer that prayer. He's not going to send you to hell or send you into torment. He's just going to withhold that answer to that prayer because he's trying to get your heart, and he's trying to change you and rearrange the way you think and the way you act towards other people. You know, just because some girl or some man looks at you and smiles doesn't mean you need to jump in bed with him. And that's what happens all the time. This is why relationships don't work, and this is why marriages don't work, is because you have not sought God's face about the relationship or the marriage, and you just jumped into it because you thought it was a neat thing to do. And it doesn't work out. All right, so you made a mistake. You know what? I know if you take it before God, he can correct it. I didn't say divorce it. He can correct it. He can work with your heart, and he can change things around, and he can rearrange things. I've heard him do this to people, but they won't listen. And he can really straighten that whole mess out, and you'd be happy and be loving. But no, you already made up your mind. You don't want it no more. You're done, and it doesn't matter what God says, you're done. And then you go on to another relationship that doesn't work out. I didn't say stay in a bad relationship. I just know what God has shown me with different people that I've ministered to. He could really fix the situation, but they decided they wanted out. They weren't willing to work and get the thing the way God wanted it. Too many of us jump ship when we should stay on board and get things right. I know the water, I don't care who you are in a marriage or a relationship, the water always gets rough and rocky. It just does. Come on, we're still human beings. So what you need to do is quit jumping ship every time something goes wrong and just take it before God and just let God straighten it out. Our biggest desire, more than anything else, should be, I want to be a true lover of God. So what's it going to be? Which are we, lover or prostitute? You have to understand there's no prostitutes in heaven or in the kingdom of God for that matter. But there are plenty of former prostitutes in both places. In other words, there's a point where you didn't know how to love, but now you do. All right. But God is a God of change. We need to understand that there is no substitute for unconditional intimate relationship with God. You know, some of you, the way you treat your spouse or even your friends, I wouldn't want to look into your love walk with God, because you'd be a mess. Because you treat him just like you do the people you're around, and that's the truth. That's not true. I love God, but they make me mad. And God told me one time, well, if you can't love them, you can't love me either. They make you mad or not. And, you know, he was rough on me in this love walk thing. We need that sometimes, don't we? We need somebody to be rough and just tell it the way it is. You might not like it. Might do a lot of squirming. But it's really good that God is hard on those that he has chosen to do a special work in his kingdom. Lost my place again. Jesus will say, I never knew you. Let's go in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. That's who's going to enter heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. I was talking to my son-in-law the other day, and I told him I could go to hell right now. Oh, Mom, come on now. All the good things you've done all your life and the way you walk with God and everything else is right now I'm angry. And it's not a righteous anger. I'm just flat angry. I said, if I die right now, I go to hell. Well, he couldn't believe that, but that's the way it is. That's exactly the way it is. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk all the time. You can't just do what you want to do one second and do what God wants you to do the next. You know, if we're wishy-washy, how are you going to win anybody to Christ? You know, if we're not strong and sturdy, they're not going to follow a thing you say. I was telling Brother Aaron before service, I said, you know, the shepherd used to break the sheep's legs and carry them whenever they would go astray. And I said, I got my bat and I'm going to start breaking some legs and I'll carry them. I said, no, I don't. I think I'll leave the legs alone. I don't want to carry them. Come on. You know, we need to get this together. We really do. We need to get this together. Either we love God or we don't. And if we love God, then we're going to follow his commandments. And then when we go to minister to other people, we will minister to them in the love of Christ. Now, I could do a sermon on how Jesus went through the temple and overturned the tables and called the people, the people that were acting like they're godly or not. He called them all kind of names and everything else. But I don't think I should have to go there. I think you should just go. It's in the Bible if you want to read it for yourself. But I just think you should just go ahead and love God. You don't have to know 100% everything about him. Just love him. And don't love him just because he's God. Just love him because he's your Father and he breathed life into your nostrils. And you know, I mean, what I meant to say is don't love him just because he's God. He might kill you. But love him because he's a loving Father who placed you in your mother's womb and breathed life in you and brought you forth for a purpose. None of us were accidents. I'm going to tell you that right now. Everybody who's ever born had a purpose. Whether or not you fulfill that purpose is up to you, but you did have a purpose, or you do have a purpose. Sometimes I say, God, cut my purpose short. When you really get exasperated, God, you know, I just don't want to go down this road anymore. Just cut my purpose short. That means take me on home, in case you don't know what I just said. Because you get tired. And then God said the other day, well, are you growing weary and well-doing? I said, yeah, I sure am. You know, I might as well be honest because he already knew that. And how may you grow weary and well-doing? I know y'all don't do that. You're so pious and everything else. But we do. And see, these are roads that we have to make ourselves not go down. We have to stop ourselves when we get to that place. Are you listening here? All right. Gabriel's in seventh grade, I think, this year, and his classes are hard, and I'm his teacher, and I don't know the answer to either, you know. And so I said, God, just pass him on to eighth grade. Yeah, I'm growing weary and studying all day long. You know, we study together. Do you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you get weary with your spouse, too, and don't say you don't. You say, oh, I'm going down to my study now, and you stay up in yours. Because you need your alone time. I know that's true. I don't get alone time anymore, but everybody needs their alone time. And you're lying if you say you don't. And so when you're having your alone time, then what you need to do is get with God, the daddy that you love, the one who knows everything about you, and he understands you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, none of us understand each other. If you think you're going to finally understand somebody, you got another thing coming. Only God understands us, right? So let's go on. Choose whom you will serve. Choose whom you will serve. Joshua 24:15 says, and if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was saying, okay, so you really don't want to serve God, then go serve whatever God you want to serve. But that's not going to change my mind or my heart. My family is going to serve God. And you can't change my mind. And that's the attitude you have to have. The people choose whom they will serve in Joshua 24:16. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us. Now, see, this is why they want to serve God. Listen to this. Let's read that again. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the peoples through whom we passed. See, they're serving him because of all the good things he did. Just keep reading. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after having done you good. See that? And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we're witnesses. And Joshua said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God, we will serve. And his voice will we obey. See, Joshua made these people take notice of what really where they were at and what they were doing. And he made them admit the reason why they were serving God. And then he made them stop and think, then if you really want to serve God, why are you serving other gods? Right? So I'm asking you the same thing tonight. If you really love God and you're really serving God, then why are you serving alcohol? Why are you serving, I'll just say prostitution or cigarettes or food, you know, gluttony? Why are you serving all these other gods if you really love God? I don't know what your other God is, but if you're saying you really love God, then you're going to have to get rid of your other God. It's not going to take you to heaven. Saying you love God and serve another God, it's not going to take you to heaven. God has to be foremost. He's a jealous God. Isn't that what the word said? His word said he's a jealous God. And he doesn't want you to have any other gods before him. Now, you know, I'm the pastor of this church, right? I believe in healing. I walked in divine miracles, right? But I've been really sick now for about 4 years. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. Last night, I didn't go to bed until about 3:30. I got awake 15 minutes later, coughing so hard that I couldn't even breathe. I had to get out of bed. Then I was coughing and coughing and coughing and couldn't quit. Then Isaiah came and said, got afraid. He said, Mom, what's wrong with you? I said, I'm just coughing. I'll be all right. I made him go back to bed, but I kept coughing and coughing. I tried to lay down, but I couldn't breathe if I laid down. So I coughed like that for 1 hour solid. Could not quit. And just like that, it quit. So then I went to bed, and I had a nightmare, and I was fighting this black blob. And when I woke up, I was tied against the wall at the head of my bed, fighting like you would a person. And, you know, and then I got awake, and that all stopped. Now, I could say this. I could say, God, I'm upset with you because I walked in signs, wonders, and miracles. I raised the dead. You know, I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen all that stuff for about 30 years. And here I am sick and you're not healing me. And God told me, I said, God, what is this? He said, there's a death assignment out against you. And, you know, then I could have got mad at God and say, why don't you just stop it? I could have said that. Why don't you just heal me? Why am I going through all this pain and all this dumb junk in my body? Why are you not doing something for me? And then I could have said, well, I think I'll just go walk some other way. I could have done all that. But I'm not going to. I'd rather go to heaven sick than serve the God and go to hell and be tormented all my life. I never get mad at God. It's not his fault for what's going on in my life. He knows what's going on. But he loves me and I love him. Why do I love him? I just love him because when I was little, my grandmother told me he was a good father. And I've always believed that. And he's always proven to be a good father. And I wouldn't want to love anybody else, you know, the devil, because God is who he is. He's my father. And I truly do love him. And every time I get my love walk starts waning, he tells me about it. And daughter, you're walking away from your love walk. Get it together again. And we all know the world is getting harder and harder. We all know the devil is fighting harder and harder. And we know the gross darkness is coming all across the land. But if we don't have love, we're not going to make it. It doesn't matter. You know, I thought about Paul and Peter and the other disciples, how they died. It was not good death. But they never forsook God. They never said they didn't love him. And they always encouraged the people, even in prison, being tormented. Their love was strong and it was steady, and the enemy could not kill their love. And if you don't know it, the enemy is trying to kill your love today. And if he can get your love, then he has you, because you're nothing. Sounding brass and those tinkling cymbals, that way it says, you're nothing without love. And you know, why would you want to allow somebody else to take you to hell when you work so hard to stay in God's arms and go to heaven one day? Why would you do that? I watch bitterness and strife every day around my house, and I think, don't you understand what you're doing? Do you understand where you're going to end up after you died right this second? It's love. It's all about love. And I said to my daughter just yesterday, I said, you know, this used to be a house of love and peace, but it's become a house of hate and discord. Not by my doing, but that's what it's become because of all the people I've lived in there. And I say, I miss that love and that peace. I miss the glory of God. And I want it back. What if you've never had it, then you don't know what you're missing, but I'm going to tell you, you need to strive for it. You know, the glory of God and the love and the peace to be in your home. Because when you're without it, it's a terrible, dark thing. I'm hearing God say he wants to join hands with you today. He wants to take you to places in the heavenly realm that he's never taken you to before. And in those places in the heavenly realm, he's going to teach you of his true ways. Not man's ways here on this earth, but his true ways, the ways they should be, that they are in heaven. And then he will endow you with the power to come down here. It's in due. Do you with power to come down here and then spread that love to a lost and dying generation, no matter what it costs you. Are you understanding this? No matter what it costs you. Right now it's costing me my health. But that doesn't matter because I have a work to do. And I know God, I know my God is able. Everybody said you shouldn't say that. Why not? Why not? I'm not afraid what the devil can do to me. He has no power. He has no authority. He did me like he did all you. He took me to court right here, and the devil did. And God said, go ahead and try her. God said, he can do everything to you but kill you. So I know he can't take my life. I don't care what he does to me. But do you know that about yourself? Do you know you're that secure in God's arms that the devil, he might put you through the hoops, but he can't kill you? And you know, if you really believe the word, Job went through the hoops, but he had more in the end than he had in the beginning. He didn't leave God either. He didn't quit loving God. He did tell his neighbors they were foolish before they were talking. So what do you really want out of life? Do you really want the fullness of God while you're walking here in the earth and the love of God and you be a love vessel? Or you just want to walk the earth and one day go to hell? Just because you sit in the house of God does not mean you're saved. It does not give you a ticket to heaven. It just does not. You're going to have to work out your salvation daily, the word of God says. So the altar's open. God wants to take your hand tonight and take you into a deeper place in his kingdom and teach you of his love.